Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 849. 849 episodes of this yammering. Well, this yammering has been brought to you by Squarespace. You know, at the beginning of the new year, you maybe made some resolutions, take on new challenges, maybe start a business, maybe change careers, maybe launch a creative project, whatever it is. Squarespace will help you if you need a landing page or a blog or an online store. They will allow you to create a custom platform where you can make whatever your goals are into a reality. They'll make it easy, any level of coding that you are. Their customer service is fantastic. It's people that have real experience. They're users, not just people reading off a script. So start your free trial today, squarespace.com. Enter the offer code Nerdist and get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, make your next move. And now our next move is the Nerdist Community Corkboard featuring Katie Levine.
Hey, so first I wanted to thank Shure. They sent me these three really cool mics to try out, and they're the MV88, the MV5, and the MV51.
Thanks,
and they're
Shure.
All these like really cool little mics that they can just go right into your computer or your iPhone and make it super easy to record a podcast on the go. I get people tweeting at me like, how do I do a podcast? These type of mics, this would really help you. They're all made with Motive and they like legit sound really good. So I just wanted to thank Shure and let people know about them, because if you're a podcaster or a musician and you're looking for like a really good portable mic, definitely check these out. And then the second one, Wes from Petaluma, California, which is right near where I'm from, Wes.
I know where Petaluma is.
He wrote, hello, Nerdist family. I need your help. My grandfather, Verl, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Verl Minto, appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in January of 1967. In the appearance, he brought on some of the jumping frogs from the Calaveras County. And one of the frogs peed in Johnny's hands, and he would just love to find any material that references this appearance. Video stills, article, etc. His grandfather passed away when he was 10, but it's one of the things he told him about, and he would just really love to see it. So if you could help him out.
What an excellent use of the clipboard to find footage of this guy's grandfather.
So again, his name is Verl Minto, and it's V-R-L-E-M-I-N-T-O. And yeah, if you find any info, tweet it at Wesley, W-E-S-L-E-Y, _ Minto on Twitter.
Great.
I know, I love that, right?
Someone's going to find that somewhere. So. Someone's going to find that somewhere. Reddit's a good place. Obscure Media is a good place. The subreddit Obscure Media is a really great place to start. This episode is Nathan Fillion and SF Sketchfest. So Matt, Jonah, and I, Katie was unfortunately had a. Are you feeling better? You had a sinus infection.
I still have a sinus infection. I have a very bad headache right now.
Katie was worried about flying. We said do not fly with a sinus infection. So Katie wasn't there, but Matt, Jonah, myself, and Nathan Fillion. Huge thanks to SF Sketchfest, Janet Cole, and Dave, and everyone else who makes Sketchfest incredible every year. The largest and best independent comedy festival
still
in the United
happening.
States.
You can still go.
It's still happening as of now. We performed at the Curran Theater, which is a stunning theater that just reopened after a 2-year refurbishment. It is gorgeous. It's a great place to see a show. I loved being in that theater.
Yeah.
Mike Furman came. He and I did El Corazon at the end of the show because we haven't written anything new. And Mike was there, so we did it. Not in the podcast. We cut that out because it's all in Spanish. And it doesn't make sense without the video that goes along with it. But Fillion's the damn best. He was an amazing guest. We had wonderful comments. And so this is it. This is our SF Sketchfest 2017. Just happened a couple of days ago. Hot off the presses of reality. You should watch Con Man on Comic-Con HQ. Go to conmantheseries.com. That's the series that Fillion does with Alan Tudyk, who is now a very significant part of the Star Wars universe and also, of course, played Wash in the Fantastic Firefly series.
Awesome.
He's great. Tudyk is great. He's coming on the podcast soon, too. So and on At Midnight. This is Nathan and Nerdist Podcast, and it's all the gang, and it was great to have everyone there. This podcast brought to you by also by Stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again. What are we made of money, Postal Service? Trip to the post office, like swapping out, having to swap out the stamps you bought last year or get the penny ones to, or whatever it is that they've
and
gone up
to.
Like
10 stamps.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know what's in, because you just use stamps.com. We'll print out the exact postage that you need for anything. It'll automatically calculate, print it out, stick it on the package or parcel, any size. Stamps.com brings all the services of the post office right to your fingertips. They'll send you a digital scale to automatically calculate the exact postage and help you decide on the best class of mail based on whatever needs you have. Stamps.com saves you money. They give you the postage discounts that you cannot get at the post office, including 3 cents off every first class stamp. Anything you do at the post office, you can do from your desk except stand in line. So process that. Don't go to the post office anymore. Use the offer code Nerdist, 4-week trial, including postage in a digital scale. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Nerdist. That is stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist. With stamps.com, you'll never go to the post office again. Right now, it's the Nerdist Podcast number 849, SF Sketchfest, with the Sister Wives and Nathan Fillion. Katie, please roll the business.
There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, San Francisco Sketchfest, the Curran Theater 2017. Please welcome to the stage, Matt Myra! Just there, and I'll just sit on the end so I can see everyone. Why are you guys so far away down there?
We're a team.
We're into symmetry.
It's us against them.
Close the gap.
Yeah.
Nathan, quite the scream when you came out, huh?
Man's a legend.
Yeah, I know, he's handsome. Come on.
I felt like okay about my applause.
Perfect.
Yeah, right. Two can play that game.
You guys
are supposed.
No, you didn't do the bit.
Quiet.
Wait,
hang on.
Wait, this is gonna be a lot of fun. This is gonna be a lot of fun. Jonah's gonna stand up again, and then no one make a fucking noise. All right.
My comparison once again.
Asshole, check this out. Weird acoustics in here.
Well, you can really hear yourself sit down. This really was an incredible, magical day in San Francisco. The protest march today. And it's really,
awesome.
What's interesting about it is that, you know, I love San Francisco. I've been coming here for years. This is, I think, maybe since 2005. This is like my 11th or 12th Sketchfest. And whenever there's a protest. It was like, oh, they're protesting everywhere, and I feel like San Francisco was like, nah, we got this. We know how this shit works.
Yeah, everyone get naked.
No. But I think the thing that I really loved walking around and seeing was, you know, people in the hats, and they had a bunch of signs, and I didn't see anger on people's faces. I really didn't. I saw people talking to each other, and women talking to each other, and kind of laughing and celebrating, like, hey, we're gonna do this. This is something that's important to us, and we're gonna. And it was the feeling was really lovely and nice and warm out there. So thank you. And I didn't, you know, I don't know. I felt really good.
Yeah, it was. It felt really good walking around. Did who here went to any of the? Great job.
And I know, you know, it probably sounds pandery to say that, but I legitimately felt that way. And a lot of my friends were, you know, I saw, you know, on Instagram, just everyone was taking pictures of the protests, and it looked really, really great.
Yeah.
Did you walk around for a while today?
Yeah, I got off the airplane, took the train, and when I got on the train, there was these adorable ladies wearing their vagina beanies, and I followed them to the. This is starting to sound real weird. These old ladies wearing vagina beanies, and I followed them to a protest. But it was great. It was great. I walked around, took pictures, talked to people. It was very nice. It's like I wanted to be with because Deanna, my wife, went down to the one in L.A. and I wanted to be there with her, but I couldn't. So it was nice sending her pictures of stuff that was happening up here.
Yeah, Jonah's been furiously working like every minute of every day. It's like you went from
you infected me, Chris.
I know, I can't help it.
I can never forgive you for that.
Jonah went from like Hidden America to The Meltdown to Mystery Science Theater back to Hidden America.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Tired. Very tired. I was in Reno, which can take 5 years off your life.
Yep.
Reno is such a terribly awesome place. Its spirit animal is a deadbeat dad from the 70s.
But it really is like going through that contraption in Princess Bride where he's like, I've just sucked 1 year off your life.
To Blave.
Blave. I'm not a witch, I'm your wife.
Oh my God. Because we could do this all night.
I mean, we could do the whole fucking movie. Come on, guys. Who wants to do it? I have this question for you, Nathan Fillion, which is, so here we are like quoting Princess Bride, which is a movie that obviously was very impactful to all of us. And does it ever bend your brain a bit that you are as much a pillar of pop culture as like, you know, as like that was to us, that you are that for people?
Whatever he said. I honestly don't think of it in those terms. Honestly don't. But I got to do all the cool stuff that we watch on TV, and you go, oh, that would be so great to do that, just even for a day. That's true. I got to do that. That was my job.
Yeah.
Riding horses, shooting guns, and shooting people, and shooting horses. And
But, you know, the phenomenon of Firefly is still so I mean, it's even just, like, we took a picture and posted on Instagram and a bunch of people are like, oh, I see Nathan's wearing his brown coat, where's yours? Like, it's so much the aesthetic, it's such a lifestyle for people, and it really has become a thing. But how do you navigate the many questions a day of like, is it going to come back? Are you guys going to do more? How's it going to come back? Are you guys going to, you know, like,
that's when you over your shoulder, you go, yeah, right, huh? You can't really sit that one down and talk it through, but
right,
you know, things get canceled. When people say, hey man, you know, is it going to come back, or why did it get canceled? They look at me like I have some kind of expertise in studio network television and how, right, things get canceled and when and how much money, and no, man, they tell me what to say, what to wear, where to stand when I say it, and how to say it. Does that sound like the boss to you?
Yeah. Performers don't get to make a lot of decisions, man. Unfortunately. But it is, you know, there are these magical times, but I feel like we have to learn how to appreciate those moments when, it's like our message in the podcast, Enjoy Burritos, like, appreciate those moments when they're happening, because we don't know when we're going to work and when we're not going to work. And, you know, I know you have a lot of great, you said you've been enjoying free time now since Castle's been over, because you just didn't have
any
time.
Yeah. You called me and said, hey, do you want to go to San Francisco and do Sketchfest? Yeah. And I'm open. I don't know why I looked at my watch, but
I mean, when the show's called Castle and you're Castle, you're pretty much in most every scene, and
yeah,
there's no way around it. So is it,
it's like House on House.
What are other shows with dwellings as the title? I really like Shaq's show. It was called Shaq.
It was like being the Little House on the Prairie on Little House on the Prairie.
The important thing to remember is it's never lupus. House reference there.
Wait, for that one time it was.
Yeah. Was it one time?
Yeah.
Oh,
of course they did that. Why wouldn't they do that? 7 years of bullshit fake medical cases. They got to go, well, what if it one time? All right, it's lupus. Yeah.
Screw everyone. It was the only.
And they're like, see you guys next week.
Yeah, it was the only 7-minute episode.
I don't feel good. It's lupus. Credits.
I can't believe you remember the House theme.
What do you mean? Wait.
I'm a big fan of house music.
Nice. Jonah, that didn't get the what it deserved, but that was a good joke.
No, it did.
Okay. I'm sure Jonah could tell you the theme to House is Teardrop by Massive Attack, and I'm a big Massive Attack fan.
Sure.
That's from the album Mezzanine, I believe. It's a fucking great song. Which, as much as I love House, the theme of it kind of ruined that song for me, because now I just...
You can't have sex to it anymore.
Can't have sex to it anymore.
No, he can only have sex to it.
I can only get hard with it.
Yeah. Just same with Matt.
House playing in the back.
Same with Matt and the Frasier theme.
Hey, Dory, I hear the blues are calling. Sauce, toss salad,
yeah,
and scrambled
I
eggs.
All my eggs.
Speaking of eggs, Matt.
Ooh, Chris! Sweet seg, bro. That's Seg? Sweet.
It's Seg. How's the... And this is obviously something that Matt is comfortable talking about and Dory's comfortable talking about because they have a podcast about it. How's Dory's IVF going?
Oh, it's terrible, Chris.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we do a podcast called Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. Yeah, seven of you listen. I'm sorry, because you're probably going through similar things. Yeah, no, we did two rounds, then we tried to do a third round, and then she didn't have a ton of follicles, so then we're like, well, okay, let's do a test round, where we make her take all the drugs and then do nothing but test her uterine lining. Really a lot of fun. Then we switched doctors because Dory didn't like the doctor, even though when we first met the doctor, I was like, this guy's kind of like an alien. He seems emotionless. She's like, I think he's okay. And then 4 months later, this guy's kind of like an alien, Matt. He seems emotionless.
Did you call her out for ripping off your joke?
Tune into the podcast to find out.
No, Dory is...
She's the smartest human being I've ever known. And,
unbelievable.
I love her dearly.
Wrote a book in the process of everything.
Wrote a book while she was doing this. Yeah, and her book comes out April 25th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's called Startup, a novel. Please, we have to pay for this baby. Like $25,000 a pop.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Is that the new, like, I was pregnant with you since in labor was so long? Is this the new you made us suffer thing that parents...
Yeah, well, if we have a... There's a boy embryo on ice that's been on ice since July. We put a female embryo in because I was like, fuck it, let's have a girl, and then we can topple the patriarchy or something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, better yet, you're Jewish. She'll be a Jewish girl. They'll hate that even more. So we tried that. It didn't take, so, but we still have the boy embryo, which is on ice since July, and then I'm like, well, that boy is, it's going to be like a year old by the time we throw it in.
Is that the medical term?
Yeah, that's how the doctor presents it. We're going to throw this in.
Yeah, we'll just throw that in.
Hey, throw that in there.
Throw that in there.
That's
that
how
in
we talk on Matt and Dory's Eggs. We like to make it relatable. Yeah, so I don't know. We're doing another round because we do want to have two children. We only have one embryo right now. We want to have a girl. And I keep trying to, if we have the boy, I want to name it Falcor, and my wife's
I think that should be either gender.
I'm like, come on, Falcor is a, I was like, she's like, no, Falcor, and then I'm like, I tried to slide Riker by her, and she was like...
Riker's a great middle name.
That's a great, yeah, you can't go wrong with a Riker.
Yeah, and then I was like, how about David Matthew, and she's like, Dave Matthew? Back to the drawing board. Frasier and Niles, that's not flying either. I got a lot of trouble.
Fillion Riker Myra. Fillion's a cool first name. That'd be a cool first name for a kid.
I always thought if I married someone named Lillian or Jillian.
Oh.
Or Jillian Lillian.
Yes. You have a kid, it could be Jillian Lillian Fillion.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Those are those things that you think are really funny and you don't realize you're basically creating a life sentence for a kid who's going to have to deal with the...
No one's going to pick on Falcor.
Everyone's going to pick
on... It's from Norse mythology. It means protector of the people.
I like, understand, but we all know it as a large Lhasa Apso with...
Luck dragon, Chris.
Luck dragon.
And go, no, the Buddha said it first. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think Falcor is a great middle name, though. I have a friend who kind of had that negotiation with his wife, and their daughter's middle name is Atari, which I think is a pretty cool middle name.
That is an excellent negotiator.
Yeah.
And if she ever, you know, if anything's going wrong, you just pull out the cartridge and blow on.
Gen X jokes. Gen X jokes. The millennials are like, cartridge. Cartridge. It's like a thing you download in your hand.
Yeah.
No.
15 bytes actually. Just to fit in your hand.
You. How dare you, sir? How dare you? So what have you been doing with your free time? Because I've noticed you've gotten to travel and go to a lot of conventions around the world. Did you just say, I'm going to take some time off to just travel?
Yeah, so they'll present me with something in Russia or Germany, and I'll like to go, I'll say, yeah, tag on a couple days on the end of that, and I'll go to the convention, and I'll hire a tour guide and learn about You know, Germany.
Most of it's good.
Oh, I had a tour guide in Berlin. It was amazing. I learned so much, and they couch nothing, and they hide from nothing, and it's really amazing and terrifying.
Yeah. Is there any place in particular that you think, oh, I could probably live here. Someday I could just get a place and live here.
No.
USA! USA!
He's Canadian.
It's so weird. We went on a beautiful scuba trip. You go for an hour over 10-foot swells. You think you're going to die on this boat going over these things. You're going, oh, yeah, we rolled a boat last month and we were all stranded out of here for hours. In open ocean with 10-foot waves. Like,
no one's asking you to live on the ocean, Nathan.
But once you get past it, Matt, it's like a lake. And
the seaweed, it's all red, greener. And somebody else says lake.
There would be an island the size of this stage with like a couple of trees and some bushes on it and a little two-story shack. And there's like a dude who lives there with a radio and he's got like a little boat. And you're like, how do you get groceries?
I don't. I'm in prison. Can you help me? Look at him. He seems so happy over there.
Out in the middle of the ocean, this tiny island, the size of, like, how do you find it? How do
Bush
you,
mates.
Like, hey, what's up? He's just waving like he's just chilling. Like, how did you got that little boat over the 10-foot, like, I don't even, could some I live
just,
out here?
Some no. People just want to be isolated. Are you good? Can you be alone for long periods of time?
Yes.
You can.
Oh, yeah. Especially in my house. Shutters come down, everything locks up. Retina scanner at the door.
Hello, Nathan.
You look forward to the purge.
Well, it's good you're prepared for it.
Keep America great.
It's purge election day. Purge election day. Did you know that Keep America Great was the slogan for purge election day? And then
that's Donald Trump is like, I'm going to copyright
that. 2020, that's going to be my, yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. Great.
He's not going to make it that far.
That's not, yeah. So what else have you been up to since you've had all this free time?
I like to scuba dive. I like to spend time with my brother. I've been working a little tiny bit.
Is your brother a merman? I connected those two things.
The fact that you couldn't even get through it.
I know. Made it that much more awful. I apologize.
Met my brother.
That was insufferable. He's great. Your brother's a sweet
but
guy.
You wouldn't call him hydrodynamic.
He's not hydrodynamic. He's not a mer person.
Not really.
Not a mer person.
No, good guy, though.
So you guys have been scuba diving. You've been hanging out with your brother.
Traveling a lot. Did a little bit of Modern Family.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
This, what?
Oh, I did that ages ago.
Yeah.
I was ages ago. I was still employed at the time.
God, he's done such an amazing job with that.
Right?
I remember...
We're talking about James Gunn, ladies and gentlemen.
James Gunn. G-U-N-N. Yeah. I remember when he first got that, he was like, hey, I'm doing this thing called Guardians. It's a really, you know, it's kind of more obscure Marvel comic, but they're going to start experimenting with, you know, unknown properties and see how it, holy shit.
I remember when he said, hey, I'm going to, I said, I know that comic. It's stupid. I kind of went, oh, great. Thinking, what's he going to do? But he took all the stupid stuff and he made it real and he made it make sense and he grounded it in Earth with the music. It was great.
But you are a comic fan, so is there anything that you...
He's also the only guy to get a realistic performance out of Vin Diesel.
Wait a minute.
I still found it kind of wooden.
Right? Nice. Iron Giant. Oh, yeah. Brad Bird got a. So Robot Tree. I actually met. Oh, man, I don't know. I guess I
tell it. I don't know what you're telling.
I think maybe you were there. James Gunn had a party like a little over a year ago, and Vin Diesel was there.
Cool.
Never met him before, and he was like, "Hey, do you know Vin?" I'm like, "I don't." And Vin had a few drinks, and I think the diesel came down, and he was just Vin.
He was just unleaded.
His voice. Directed by James Burroughs. And I think some of it came down a little bit, and the voice that came out of him I was not expecting. It was... I was expecting a, hey, how's it going? But it came out, I don't know if you had this experience, it was a, hey, nice to meet you. Like, it was the most, it was not what I expected at all. And then you start digging around, and it's like, he like plays D&D, like, he loves D&D.
Oh, he's a total nerd.
Huge D&D guy. You didn't know this?
Oh!
Huge D&D guy.
I picture him beating up D&D guys.
Oh. Only if he rolled for initiative. And I was like, oh my God, I think this guy is... Basically, he's just wearing, like, body armor. Like, he's the kind of... Because he has a twin brother. And I think the twin brother looks like the guy who talks like that. And I think it's I think the Diesel is just a, it's just a character. I think it's a character. I think it's a thing that he does.
I love him. I really do. I can't wait to find out why Dom is crossing his family. Did you not see the trailer for The Fate of the Furious?
Oh, is it a Fast and Furious?
It's the eighth one, so they just put F and the number 8.
Yeah. We're just going to run out of ways to write that.
We did. On Sidekick, which is a show I do on Alpha, which is this little... More people watch that show. We had Paul Scheer on as the host of the show, and he and I were... I was like, Paul, would you, well, how about what if we just broke down the trailer for the Fast Furious 8 movie? And he's like, oh, I love it. Great, let's do it. And it was slotted for 5 minutes, and because the show's on the internet, it went 25 minutes.
Just breaking down the trailer.
Just breaking down a 2.5-minute trailer.
Well, what were you able to extrapolate in that time?
We had a lot of theories about Dom. Some theories like robot. Some theories like the only thing he hates more than he loves his family is terrorism. So, you know, he might... If it's to stop terrorism...
The only thing he hates more than he loves...
His family... terrorism.
Well, but he loves it.
What if that was written on the poster? How fast would you be at Fandango?
How furious would you be?
That's great. The only thing he loves... No, wait, how's it go?
The only thing he hates more than he loves his family.
The only thing he hates more than he loves his family is terrorism.
But it's because he loves to hate it. Because he hates... This is so incredible that they've managed to get that many movies out of a car movie.
I can't wait. I need it to go... I want it to go 100 more movies.
It will. It has no signs of stopping anytime soon.
And then we could add, like, Peter Cushing to the movie.
I'm afraid you're going too fast and too furious this time.
You may fire at will, Dom.
I was, Nathan was at the Rogue One premiere, and I was, we had talked about this a little bit before, but being at that, the experience in that theater.
Oh my God, we haven't talked about Rogue One as a group.
Oh.
I love it.
It's almost like it doesn't exist unless we can talk about it as a group. Experiences like that are so few and far between now.
Has anyone not seen Rogue One? Too bad.
Yeah.
The odds are not in your favor.
I literally think all I heard was someone scream, "She hasn't."
Yeah.
She's a witch.
And she's not gonna. By now, she's not gonna. We all know. She's not gonna break up.
Banna witch.
But it's an unspoilable movie because it's the fucking crawl of Star Wars.
Yeah. It's already spoiled. She hasn't seen that one either. That theater was so... The energy was so electric and such a... And it was like...
Like force lightning?
It was some force lightning. But the last 30 minutes I would put... And I almost got in so many arguments with people online. There were a couple of hipster bloggers who were like, this is just a footnote in Star Wars. Like, it fills in all the holes.
Yeah.
And it's so well done. And everyone fucking dies. Too bad. And, and gives reasons to things that, you know, it's like justifying the weakness in the Death Star, but doing it in a beautiful way that has a story that actually means something and not just like, oh, they just needed a plot device, you know?
Yeah.
What What were your thoughts being in the theater when it was happening?
I'm with my people. Everybody was in tune. Everybody got the jokes.
Yep.
Everybody went, oh, uh-huh. That's the... I know where they're going.
Yeah.
To space.
Love that stuff. Yeah.
I can dig it.
And,
It's good. It's really terrific. We know where they're going. To space.
There's that joke in Arrested Development where she goes, here's $5, go see a Star War. It's Lucille. Are there certain types of roles? Are there certain types of things that you would like to do? Would you want to be a part of a repeating franchise? Or
Yes.
Okay.
The only bad thing about those kinds of things, like, hey, I would really love to do like a voice in a Pixar movie. I would really like to do something in a Star Wars. The only thing bad about those kinds of dreams is that Alan Tudyk beats me to every role. Now, I think we all watch entertainment with a bit of a different lens, perhaps, or maybe the nerd lens or the entertainment industry lens. When I'm watching a friend on screen, I watch very carefully everything they do. Quick story about Alan Tudyk. Everything he ever did in Firefly as the pilot, you say, hey, we need to take off. He'd say, great. Click, click, click. He hit three switches and we're going to go, hey, I need you to contact so-and-so on the video thing. Okay. Click, click, click. He hit these three switches. Everything he did.
Sounds like a real one-click pony.
It was a three-click pony, you dumb-dumb.
Shit!
Missed it. Guy's not here, not in front of our friends.
We did the movie Serenity. I got to visit the bridge and they were just building this whole thing. I'm going, this is great. Alan's going to need three switches right here. Just little old-fashioned toggles. And I was there when Alan saw the bridge for the first time. He goes, oh, my God, this is so great. Everything looks good. It's really nice. It's click, click, click. It's just right there in Star Wars when he does this that bit. Do you know the likelihood of her using that weapon on us? It's hot. It's really hot. Click, click, click.
It was so much fun to see him. He really does kind of steal the movie.
Every scene he's in. Yeah.
And that could have been, you know, a character like that, it's such a delicate balance because it could have been a really annoying character. People were like, oh, God, not this. And every scene he was in absolutely destroyed. Didn't you say he was able to do a fair amount of riffing in the...
Yes, I think all but one of his improvised lines made it into the movie.
Wow.
Right? That's Alan Tudyk, though. That's...
Yeah, but also just afterwards trying not to... I mean, it was the whole experience was really overwhelming and exciting, but it was so hard not to be like, do you understand that you're a part? Do you understand? Like, trying to force him to fucking understand what it means. But K2SO is now a beloved character in the Star Wars canon. He'll always be that, and he got to be that guy.
Everything that's cool about Chewbacca in a C-3PO, but with like a Boba Fett twist. Right?
It's like if Drax from Guardians was a robot. He just sort of says what he thinks, and you're like, boy, every word he's saying is funny. Dick.
You know what? We had dinner last night at a place called the Sliding Door, which is very nice.
Slanted Door.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Gwyneth Paltrow movie.
Well, you were thinking of the Gwyneth Paltrow movie. Yeah. Where
next door to the Slanted Door. We can get in.
Yeah.
Infinite outcomes.
Ironically, there's a parallel universe where I said the correct word, Slanted Door, and it changed my life through a butterfly effect of events. But, so, we were having dinner at the Slanted Door last night, and Matt and I were pitching different things that we think Nathan would be amazing in, and we came upon something that I hope the president of Hollywood is listening, because this is a fucking winner of an idea, and I am excited about it.
Chris, oversell it more.
This is the greatest experience you will ever be able to process with your mere feeble human minds.
Buckle the fuck up, everybody.
Can I set it up with, oh boy.
Nathan Fillion in Quantum Leap, the movie. Or
how do we not do this?
A rebooted series.
Let's go to do it on Netflix. We can do 14, right? That's a thing, Jonah.
Happened to me.
What is Sam Beck? What does Sam have? He has all the same qualities, right? Lovable, boyish, smart.
Handsome, thank you, ma'am.
Handsome. Everything. So we were trying to cast the Al. We come up with some different ideas. I was like, oh, you know, because Dean Stockwell, who played Al, they put this weird storyline where he was a ladies' man for some reason. We could never really figure that out.
It would explain like his ties, you know?
Yeah. But I guess they were like, well, we need someone who's exactly the opposite of Sam in every way. So he dresses flashy, he's obnoxious, he's superficial.
Right.
And so...
Hey! That's not a dig! Oh, Sam, there's a 98% chance you might be right. Ziggy says...
A lot.
I'd take that as a huge compliment.
My worst characters you could be.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, is it like John Hamm, or is it, you know, is it like Simon Pegg? Would Simon be, or David Tennant? Would Tennant be a good Al? And then Myra goes, no. It's Allison. We recast it. And then we were trying to come up with who would be the good.
You're so woke, Matt.
I just know how to get shit made. You know what? We just like, hey.
I'm sorry, Matt. What else have you gotten made?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
I mean, as far as I know, you're still going to the IVF time.
I can't even make a baby. I tried to make a girl, and I couldn't make a girl. She's at home sleeping peacefully after she marched all day.
No, she just started awake but didn't know why.
Matt.
There's a podcast happening somewhere.
She just appears right over there. But I think you would be an amazing... I think that would be amazing. If there's anyone out there...
He's already agreed to do it, so...
Yeah.
Just give us 10, right? 10 episodes?
10 episodes. Let's start with 10.
If anybody has the rights, just... leave them on the stage.
We're going to turn the lights off.
So glad I brought these here, guys.
I love that guy.
I was leaving my house. I'm like, oh, I don't
know. Mr. Grandpa, what do I need? I got my keys, wallet, rights to Quantum Leap. Where are my glasses?
Honey, have you seen my pager?
What?
Yes, you left it in 1984.
Okay. Hello, Hiljar. I think that would be an amazing. I think.
Why don't you leap to the show?
Yeah.
That's what he's always talking about.
Yeah, it's always. I can't remember. Boy, it's been so long since I can't remember the last episode. Does he finally leap home?
No. No, and that's what fucking annoys me.
They didn't wrap it up.
No, they didn't wrap shit up.
Because they didn't know they were going to be canceled. They had no.
No, they knew.
What? Let me tell you something about shows getting canceled. They'll tell you anything to get you saying, oh, it's good, it's fine, we'll be back.
Buy another house, buy two.
Don't worry, everything will be great. Just take your things home in a box.
Slow down, Captain Castle.
I do answer to that.
But, you know, I think one of the things that I've noticed being in...
Well, did you see what NBC did? NBC, I assume Universal still has the rights to Quantum Leap. And then when they did the Will and Grace reunion that they did special for the election that obviously didn't work out too well, they were like, Netflix was like, fuck, they got a lot of views. Let's remake it. And then they approached NBC and was like, NBC or Universal Studios, they were like, we would like the rights to make this. And then NBC was like, no. We're going to do it. And now Will and Grace is coming back this year. Really?
Oh, right.
Yeah, they're doing 10 episodes of Will and Grace.
Right, because Steve Carell tweeted, "Hey, The Office is coming back." Oh, just kidding. That was a typo. I meant Will and Grace. And there was a period of a few minutes where people were like, "Oh, The Office is coming back." And so like, he trolled everyone because Will and Grace is coming back. But someone, didn't they try to remake Quantum Leap at some point?
They've tried like 17 times. I think what they've lacked is a leading man.
I think they have him.
I see you want me to find one.
Yes.
All right.
Well, I may have a little bit of pull at NBC now, thanks to a little show called The Wall.
It's a great fucking
pull. I have no pull at all. I have zero pull. No, I drop balls down a big Plinko machine.
You don't even drop them. It's automatic.
I can't even take credit for that. Yeah, it's totally automatic.
I saw you high-five a guy.
That's true.
That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, so
you also let him know what would happen if he decided to do it or not do it.
Yeah, bro, my job's hard. You know it's hard. Is that something that you think you would seriously want to do?
Are you offering me a job right now?
Yeah.
Do you have the backing for this? This is not something you...
No, I wish I did, but sometimes when we talk about things on the podcast, like, you know, someone will blog, like Cinema Blend, or someone will blog about it, and then other people start talking about it, and because big media outlets are trying so hard to keep up with the
fake news
of news, they're like, "That I read that on a smaller blog, put that in there," and they'll get 5 tweets because 5 people tweeted about it and make it seem like, and then a person high up goes, "Oh, I think people are talking about this thing." Like, it's totally...
And that's how we ended up with Trump.
They can't even...
I don't know what the hissing is. Is it because you like him? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Matt. You nailed it. Yeah, boy.
No, I just get confused by the hissing. We're all on the same...
Well, they're hissing it. They're
reptiles.
They're upset.
Yeah.
No, they're just speaking parcel tongue. They're swearing in parcel tongue. But, it's when they hear a night, it's a San Francisco-specific thing. People don't hiss anywhere else. It's a San Francisco-specific thing. When some people hear an idea that they do not like, and it's not necessarily at you. Are you hissing at this, or are you just demonstrating?
We let the air out.
Don't tell our secrets.
Is that true, though? Is that
true? Yeah, it's true.
If I said to somebody here, like, "Hey, what do you want to go for lunch? Do you want to try that new sushi place?" They go...
Right. No, I'll tell you what. If you were like... you're like, "Hey, do you want to go buy fur coats and make inappropriate jokes in Union Square?" Then people go... Tss. It's anything that's like, it's sort of, you're getting called out for something that's...
Want to buy a house for under $1 million?
No, a lot of people would be like, "Fuck yeah, where do I get that? Where do I fucking get that?"
I did a search on Zillow just for funsies today. And I was like, I just kept my search from Los Angeles, which is I want a 3-bedroom house. So I looked, and there was one. There was one for sale in the square, I don't know how, maybe like a 2 square mile radius. And it was $2.5 million. And I was like, "Oh, God, guys. Do we all sleep in our cars? How do we do this?" Yes. But my car is also my office because I drive Lyft.
Sit down. Just move the cat.
Want a cappuccino? Like... He's got a cappuccino maker up front.
Want a road omelet?
You can make a crepe.
Have you ever thought about, do you want to pitch? Would you pitch stuff? Would you pitch shows? Do you pitch anything?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, then there's a bit of responsibility if it's your idea and it doesn't work.
Right.
I get afraid of that kind of stuff.
Right.
I wrote a show one time. I wrote a show about Repo Men.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened with it?
I sold it.
And?
Nothing.
Okay.
Was it based off of the movie Repo Man?
No.
Oh,
it was called Repo Bros.
Why not call it...
Repros.
It was a buddy comedy for me and Alan Tudyk, and it was two brothers who would con people out of their things in order to get them back, because they couldn't muscle it out. A lot of repo guys are big guys, and say, "Give it to
right.
me." So they would con you.
"Hey, I think I'm going to need to get this car back." Click, click, click. And then what happened? You pitched it and you sold it, and did you shoot it, or did you just sell the concept?
We did not. I sold it as part of a deal with ABC, kind of a, I'll sell you the pilot and let's do a development deal. So if the pilot doesn't get made, we'll take a look at one of your shows, and one of those shows happened to be called Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a job.
Yeah. Is it?
That was nearly 10 years ago, before Netflix.
Oh,
you probably should have gone to Netflix.
It's really interesting, though, but the industry has changed since I went under. And now I'm out and I go, hey, everybody, what I miss? It's this.
Yeah. Well, now maybe it's time to unearth that and bring it back and pitch it to Netflix.
Did you say unearth or on earth?
Unearth.
Okay.
On earth.
Yeah.
Unearth on earth. But I think that there's such a it's such a fertile time for creators and people. Because I wonder, when you're doing a...
Speaking of eggs...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is vodka.
It's not. By the way, I want you guys to know, none of these jokes would happen if I felt like Dory would be upset by it. This is their podcast is based around.
It's what we do, guys.
Yeah. So
please, buy her book, Startup, a novel.
Yeah.
Available on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Amazon.
Mostly Amazon.
Mostly Amazon.
You know what helps? What I found out helps from Dory is that if you go to your public library and you request that the library purchase the book, that helps sales quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. That's a great thing to do.
Guys, libraries, they're great. No hissing. I found something they like.
They like libraries.
I remember when I was... When I first moved out to L.A., I'd be, like, turning on MTV, and I'd see Chris Hardwick there with his long locks. And
oh, I don't... That was a... No, I don't... I'm 29. I don't know what you mean.
And now the people that I, you know, I used to see and watch and hang out with, and now you guys are all making things. Everybody's making their own things.
You know why, though? And for people like myself and Felicia and the Will Wheatons of the world, we were... I think it was just a reaction to being heavily rejected by the entertainment business and being fortunate enough that the internet allowed us to reach an audience directly, and we just went, oh, well, why are we, they're just kind of middle people. Like, why don't we just go directly and make our own thing? And so I feel like in a way we were sort of forced to. I'm glad I like this path better, even though now I do work for established corporations, but... I still make stuff that I like, you know, that I like.
Yeah.
And it's just a good time if you want to make stuff, and there's no excuse not to anymore.
Be proud. Also, slow the fuck down. You're raising the bar for the rest of us.
I'm sorry. It all fits. You know, Sundays I do Talking Dead. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is at midnight. Podcasts are lunch breaks. The Walls we're going to shoot on Thursdays or Fridays. I mean, it's like, it's fine. I'll do stand up at night.
At night.
But the business used to be so compartmentalized.
Yes.
Where if you were a TV actor, you could only do TV acting. If you were a host, you could only be a host. If you were a comedian, you were only a comedian.
Right. Now, if you want to be a TV star, you have to be a movie star.
And you have to. Well, not only that, but I also wonder: did you ever feel in the business like, well, I'm on this show? You know, does the film industry, which is a completely separate business, do they see me in a different light? Do I have to earn respect in that world? Like, what was sort of the... How did you feel being perceived in both of those universes?
I think just by nature of the industry, I think the movies crap on primetime a little bit, and primetime crapped on daytime a little bit. Like, those kinds of things kind of happen. Now, though, the lines... I mean, first of all, daytime's near defunct.
Right.
It's almost extinct.
Right.
There used to be a thing called daytime TV, guys. We called them soap operas.
Soap operas.
It's a great place for young guys like me to get a start. I was also going to say, like, also a good, like, some debauchery stuff I did in New York as a kid, but I'm going to leave that.
You're going to leave that alone. Yeah, leave that alone. Yeah.
So daytime is great. And now the movies and film, the TV and film, it's all kind of meshing together with this internet right in the middle.
Yeah.
Different things are happening, guys. This is the paradigm shift. You're all here for it.
And so do you audition for film, or is that something that you want to do? You want to do more film, or do you feel like, because I think there's such, you know, television when it really works is very regular work. Your schedule, like, you know what your schedule is going to be. In film, it's like, oh, you might work for a few months and you don't work for a few months.
Yeah.
Is that more attractive?
certainly right now, after an eight-year kind of a crushing time commitment, I can't tell you, I mean, I've watched a lot of sunsets since Castle has...
Before sunset, after sunset.
Where the Linklater heads at?
What up, Linklater?
I missed a lot of daylight hours. Going to work when it's daytime, you come out, it's nighttime. I feel like I missed out on Planet Earth a little bit. Yeah. They're still talking
they're doing most of the time. They
went over their heads.
Their own thing.
You know what?
So smart.
They said people.
So around.
Like, when they sat over there initially, you came
over. Midnight.
These shoulders are so tired
from
carrying.
Shot alone.
Both of them.
Be in a ditch.
You know they would. And they don't appreciate it.
In a ditch.
Awful.
Boyhood? You want to talk Boyhood?
Boyhood. The whole movie.
The whole thing.
And it felt like my life. Nothing happens.
It'd be great if that's what people's attention spans were now, is that the whole podcast was just two separate conversations.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just pan you guys to the left and us to the right.
Right. And it'll be all good.
That was a fun bit.
Well, I feel like since you're here, and part of the fun of this is that it's... you know, it feels sort of Comic-Con-esque in...
Oh, Comic-Con. Speaking of which, guys, just started my Star Trek podcast.
What?
Andy Secunda.
Are you buying ads on this?
I'm buying ads on this right now. I'm never on it, so I feel like people are like, where'd Matt
buying
go?
Ads.
I'm working all the time. I do it. Andy Secunda and I, who's also a writer on the Goldbergs, we do a podcast now called Star Trek The Next Conversation.
It seems like you just come up with names of podcasts and go, well, now I got to
do it. We got to do it. Yeah, I guess.
He liked the original series, never saw all of The Next Generation, so I'm forcing him to watch it episode by episode.
And then you guys talk about it?
Fuck yeah, bro. Me coming on. What's your favorite episode? I'll bring you on for it.
Oh, the one with Ashley Judd when she was young. And,
oh yeah, because that was Will. Because Will was on that episode.
Season 4. That's called The Game. It's really a hoot.
Man, he sure knows Star Trek. I feel like it would have to be a Will.
Season 1. What?
No, see, he said season 5. I think you
is
just
it
got
season
corrected.
5. It is after he leaves the ship. You're right.
Well, you should have the podcast. That's it.
Take off your crown, Matt Myra.
Now I think you're wrong.
If only there was a way.
Not a device. No one.
All of
hang
you.
On.
Hang on.
Hang on. Hang on. Hang
on.
Connect to. And
I have
he had, all of the information. He had left for the Academy.
No idea.
He's coming back. He does leave for the Academy in season 4. So, I mean, really.
Ashley Judd, Star Trek.
Probably season 5.
Next Generation. Ashley Judd, Star Trek, Next Generation. We're going to find. Okay. If you are right,
season 5.
If you are right,
you get to do the podcast with Andy.
No. If you are right, I'll give you $100.
Oh.
If right?
Matt is right, you got to blow him. No. if Matt is right, nothing happens.
Wait, you have to say
wait, what if
prosper.
You what if instead you paid for a round of IVF?
It's like $25,000.
Yeah, and how about this? If he's right, you give him $100. If I'm right, you pre-order my wife's book, Startup, a novel.
I will. I'll tell you what.
If he's right, you give him $100.
Yeah.
If you're right, I'll give him $100.
Wow, this guy's day just got amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you motherfucker already looked it up.
Well, it was a long way to go, but it also wasn't worth it.
I believe him.
Wait. Star Trek database.
He's right. I think it's season 5, episode 6. I was wrong.
You were wrong?
I'll admit it.
Wait, TNG episode TNG 2.
You know what? Just look
under the shadow of the ring.
Judge, she's in one episode.
I'm trying to find it, Matt.
Yeah, whatever.
Season 2?
No, she's
not
in 2.
Jesus Christ!
She's also in Nemesis, but she got cut out. Go fuck yourself.
This is just getting too complicated. It just says...
Wait, I got hissed.
Star Trek Nine episode.
Jeez, I believe the guy yelling.
Well, you can't just believe what people are yelling. That's why America's in trouble. We're going to fact check this.
No.
Hang on, sir who knows everything about Star Trek, did I at least get the title right?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
What was the title of the episode?
He transported.
Game.
The Gate.
The Game.
Game.
The Game. That's where they're all playing the game. They all get addicted
to the
game.
Beams right into their eyes.
Yeah. Billion knows. Game. Star Trek. He goes to conventions.
My favorite episode!
Okay, the
Everyone
game.
Gets addicted, except Geordi, who's too busy to get addicted.
Chris, this is taking alarmingly long for you to look up.
I know.
The guy already looked it up.
It says it's the 106th episode.
How is that going to help
you? Season 5, episode 6.
That's what he said.
Well, now I have... No, I'm going to...
Well, that's a lot of money, Chris.
Look at this. Look at this.
Jesus Shut Christ. Up. Shut up.
I didn't know they made $500 bills.
Shut up. Well, they don't give them to everybody.
Yeah, they don't give them to everybody?
Whatever. I guess
don't
not, yeah.
Forget what you saw. Forget what you saw.
Is that a gold doubloon?
Who was the guy?
Everyone's going to remember. It was me.
How was the show? We lost like 20 grand.
You could have paid for an IVF cycle and just kept giving them $100.
Oh, you're all the way up there? Oh, I can't get up there. I can't give it to you.
Yep. To the balcony?
It's not trickle-up economics.
Oh, you're going to... Yes.
Throw it.
President Lincoln, hold it into a paper airplane.
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 Oh, you want me to throw it?
Stick it to the...
Do you not know how physics works?
Chris, wait. Put it in your empty water bottle. Toss it up.
Great.
I'm fucking MacGyver.
Oh, my God. Where is he in bed? Is he a gentle lover?
Wait, you don't have to, you just, you know, it's just...
You don't, you deal with your $100 bills however you want.
I don't even have a wallet.
I'm gonna make...
He's folding it into a tiny ship.
Oh.
I'm folding it into a TARDIS. No. Yes.
Wait, are people yelling? Just this is
swan?
Happening. What's happening?
I'm gonna make a ring. I'm gonna make a ring out of it.
This is good radio.
Jonah, this isn't radio. You think this is radio?
A ring. He's gonna make a ring out of it.
I'm gonna make a ring out of it.
He's coming.
And then a little girl with long hair is gonna crawl out of a well and murder you in 7 days.
He's the guy. I think the guy has left the balcony.
He just left. He's like, fuck this.
Went to go make $100.
There he is. You don't even have to fold it anymore.
Put it on his finger, Chris. Tell him you love him. Kiss.
This is so sudden. This is all so sudden.
Right. I think Matt's going to steal money from you.
Hang on.
He's been doing that for...
Tell everybody your name and that you're better at Star Trek than Matt. You want to hand it to him? Well, he might take it for a long time. No, he's got to go around again.
Yeah. Hey, you can walk around a couple people for $100.
He has a cane!
Oh.
Oh, check out Joe Biden over here.
Guess what? I'm going to bring you $200. I'm going to bring you, and then we're never going to speak of this again. This will just be our secret that you... Here, hello, how are you? Oh, I am so...
Flummoxed?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, here's a $100 ring.
Yes, Sam.
Is this on you?
Yes, Sam.
And
Christ, Chris.
He's going to pay him in 20.
Is for you to keep your fucking mouth shut. How's it going? How's it going?
How hush money works.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that was the first time Chris did something like that.
Yes, sir.
I was trying to get your attention. Just to be a good sport, I will buy your wife's book.
Aw, thanks, buddy. Thank you so much. You know what you could do is you could just do it with the money Chris gave you. Thank you. And also, please listen to the podcast and write in with any corrections or omissions.
But who has the time?
It's true. I got time to record them. You got time to listen to them. You don't have to write in, though. I get that.
Tell us about yourself. What do you do?
I'm a chemist.
Oh, of course. I had to fucking argue Star Trek with a chemist.
You should have led with that. You should have said that first. What type of chemical things are you working on?
Drugs, Chris.
Oh.
All right.
No, I work for a company that makes drug testing kits, so if you want to have someone take a drug test to see if they're abusing the morphine.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Well, you just failed.
Wait, we're in San Francisco. Why weren't you guys
kind of test? It's a verbal test. He just goes places and says, I make drug testing, and all the people on drugs are like, fuck! And they just pick them up one by one. You're fired. That's really fantastic. Is there anything else I have that I can give to you?
You're doing it right now.
Okay, good.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
You just wanted time.
God damn it, stop being adorable. You're just getting them on your side more.
Go for the castle.
He's right there.
That's me.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
I will do anything to embarrass Matt.
Oh, good. Well, and I'm going to give you $100 more for that. Can I just give you 20s?
What are you dropping? What are you dropping?
One.
Good God.
That's three.
If anyone else wants to shit on Matt,
which is still worth something right now. Hey, how's it going? Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. You know, I feel like this is a perfect... I feel like this is... And I'm not... Don't ask for $100, anyone else. This was just for him. Now's the perfect time to do Quements, you guys. Nathan's here. Matt, Jonah.
If you did want to do something really special, it has been a while since you guys have done the song.
The Quements song?
Well, then why would you interrupt it, Mr. Chemist?
Matt, shut up!
No, I mean, it's just ridiculous. He comes down here with his cane, makes us feel
Matt,
bad.
It's Nate on the AK!
And he's like, oh!
Oh my God, what if he just fell over? Oh my God, that would be the worst. I didn't mean to grab it. I'm so sorry.
Did you?
I don't know if I have $100 left. Why don't you start it for us? Come on. You gotta start it. Let him start it.
It's a question. It's a comment.
Oh, I might have to, yes, because this man has one right here. Thank you. I apologize.
25 questions.
What is your name?
My name is Jason.
It is, and what is your question or comment?
I wanted to say thank you, it's a comment, to all of you. Matt, the Timothy Ferris episode helped me go on a journey. It inspired me to lose 50 pounds, and I ran a marathon. So.
Holy shit, fantastic.
And thank you.
Thank you very much.
That is
and also,
a great
I'm
climate.
From Edmonton, so...
Hey!
Edmonton!
Do you enjoy Hawaiian food? There you go. Jonah, something for you, too.
That's like what I can get.
I bought one of Jonah's stand-up specials off of iTunes.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for doing that.
Nice.
You didn't, you don't, Matt, don't force
no,
people
I made him,
into
it. I made him do it. I made him do it.
Yeah, that was pretty...
No,
do
it's
you like
okay. It was
pineapples?
Real. It was real.
Okay.
So also, now, I don't know why Hawaiian food is the only thing I
can... You want to do a thing real fast?
Sure.
Oh, there it is.
Ooh. Ah.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Get out of my way.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I bet that chair's more comfortable now, my friend.
You have Nerdist on your eyes? Oh, you do. That's oh my God, that's really awesome. Did you paint that on there yourself? Hey, would you get a picture and then send it to her? What? Here, look. just get up the eyes.
Just runs around telling people to take pictures and send it to them.
That's for you.
Also giving away money. Take that, Seacrest.
He does it all
he
the
time. He does it every weekday.
Shut up,
this
Matt.
Pays your bills.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Jonah, please, oh, please, can you give us any spoilers about Mystery Science Theater?
Yeah! Well, I feel like in the not-too-distant future...
It's... I can't. I can't, but...
I can say I saw the intro to the show.
Sorry. Joel will kill me in the laziest way possible. He'd call me up and go, shouldn't have done that, man.
I don't have a horse in the race. I've seen the intro with Jonah, and it's the most fucking delightful thing I've ever seen in my life. It's going to be great. He looks amazing. The robots are amazing. I want to spoil some things, but I can't. And fucking Felicia's awesome. Patton's awesome. Look for a Harmar cameo in there. It's great. Yeah, I can say that.
Sorry.
Fuck everybody. I'll say whatever I want.
So, question for Nathan. I've been running since 2011, the Bay Area Firefly live-action role-playing game. What would it get you to come do a cameo one day? And are you in town next Sunday?
Good follow-up.
Is the answer poison dart?
There wasn't a tranquilizer. Oh no!
You could play whoever you want.
Up in the stakes.
Inara.
I want to hear about this game first of all.
We use Nerf guns for combat. We've been running now since 2011. We do play once a month. I've got about 30 players that play their own characters and about. A dozen people that come in to play NPCs that'll everything from Reavers.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I'll never stand. But you can't take the sky from me. No, you can't take the sky from me.
Are there more lyrics or is that it?
Yeah, there's like two more.
Oh, there's. Okay, you're good, good, great.
What would it take, $100 from Hardwick?
How much more? Yeah. How much more does Hardwick have in his pocket?
What would it take to come back next weekend and be... I mean, he lived in a Firefly role-playing scenario for a long time. Or, I don't know, what do you think? He just said they're going to provide a Nerf gun.
I think if you're gonna do that, I mean it's amazing. I think it's all about perspective. I think if I do it, it kind of rides the line between really cool and maybe sad.
Yeah.
It's like, what does that make me? I want to know. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it.
What if you showed up and everyone was just like not as into it as you thought they were gonna be? Like, hey, it's me, Nathan Fillion. They're like, cool, you could go over there.
Did you bring any
guys? I don't know if anybody can hear me from the back.
Oh no, we can't.
Oh, come on, the new guy's ruining it.
Didn't even bring any chips or salsa.
What?
We didn't ask you to.
Ice is in a dish. It's potluck. Ice is not a dish.
Yeah. Can you do a little ditty from Rock of Ages for us?
Oh, do you have a song from Rock of Ages?
Blood.
Well, I just did Comedy Central has this new show called Comedy Jam coming out, and so I just did. I performed Wanted Dead or Alive with Richie Sambora, and it was fucking amazing. He committed to it. It sounded great. I don't know.
Richie Sambora committed to playing guitar.
Yeah.
Hopefully that works out for him.
I don't know. I can give you
my tickets.
Do you want Wanted Dead or Alive or something else? Or,
I wanna know what love is. I want you to show me. I wanna feel what love is.
But I'm also
I'm a cowboy on a steel horse I ride. I'm wanted.
Dead or alive.
Kid, you got the goods. You're signed.
Wanted.
Now, if I didn't finish it, would all the completionists melt down? Yes.
Did any of you guys watch professional wrestling growing up? And if you did, who's your favorite wrestler?
Matt Myra's. Wait.
I loved professional wrestling growing up, and my favorite as a real young kid was the late, now late, great Jimmy the Superfly Snuka. What's
oh,
that?
Oh, shit.
Are you him? What?
Yes, this is him.
He reincarnated?
Here he is.
Snuka.
It was a ruse.
So, yeah, no, I had the large, the 12-inch rubber figures. Remember those? And I played with those constantly as a child. Then I liked the Ultimate Warrior quite a bit because I just always wanted to see a realization of what steroids do to a human being.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah.
I couldn't never tell if he was a good guy or a crazy guy.
He was just out for the Warrior, brother.
Yeah. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. It's a Simpsons reference. All right. Good.
The late great.
Chris, behind you.
What are you doing there? What are you doing?
Hell if I know.
Okay, great.
First things first, I'm fairly certain that I'm supposed to like you because I think you signed my ticket. However, I don't know.
This is not
great.
Starting well.
Do you know what day it is? And
and can we get that drug test down here, please?
That's an immediate failure.
Much. Oh, you're used to that. I'm kidding!
No, I am used to that.
Stop it. Don't you be mean to you. Don't you fucking be mean to you.
So, first things first, question for everybody. Are any of you guys vegetarians?
No.
Except for all the meat I eat, yeah.
is this about to turn into an uncomfortable Instagram comment thread?
Yeah, it is. So let's offend a bunch of vegetarians. So it's a hypothetical.
Wait,
if you guys were about to eat...
Put your hissing lips on.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's just going to ask who we eat first.
Shame me. So if you guys were hypothetically able to eat any exotic meat, regardless of endangered species list...
Okay.
What meat would you guys try?
The most delicious meat of all, man! Oh, boy, this one's really been marinating for a while.
I mean, honestly, if there were, like, no rules, I'd fucking love a Thanksgiving bald eagle.
It's a hypothetical. It's a fair question.
I mean, why not? I'll fucking shove some rosemary up a bald eagle's ass. You know, nice poultry blend. Stop hissing me. It's not going to happen. I'm not eating a bald eagle.
Let's eat penguin. I mean, it's half...
No!
It's half...
No one's eating penguin, you fox
favorite. It's Jonah's favorite animal. He has a tattoo of a penguin.
Hey, Jonah's mom's a penguin.
It's the way to go. Half fish, half bird. I mean, come on. It's fatty and nice.
It is a surf and
turf.
They're
not as fat as you think.
It's surf and turf.
They're not as fat as you think they are.
How's it going? Or do you feel
Great white shark?
Great.
Oh, I'd fuck with great white shark.
I'd eat great white shark.
Yeah, do you have a present?
I'd go for some Mormon baby meat.
Thank you for coming back.
What'd you say?
Mormon baby meat.
Okay, thought so. Hi, Chris. You don't have a microphone right now.
Well, this is for all of you, especially Nathan, since I see how funny you are. I feel I could ask you this. No offense. I didn't get any offense by that.
I'm just making funny faces.
No, I was laughing at the fact that it was funny because I see how funny he is, and then we're over here trying to be funny all the time. And I thought that was very funny. So.
I see how you guys try so hard, and it's really admirable.
I'm just wondering if any of you have ever dialed a number you saw in a movie or TV show to see if it was real.
First of all, fantastic question.
Great question. I did once dial 867-5309.
I once dialed 1-900 get laid.
I've dialed 555 ghost.
Mystery Science Theater 3000, overdrawn at the memory bank, 1-800-555-PEARL.
Oh, yeah.
Phone rang, line picked up, voice on the other line says, down on all fours.
What?
Ask him, he's a witness.
There was one, well, this wasn't, you know, in New York, their public access channel, I don't know if they still do this, but they would run at night all these, like, porno line commercials. They don't do that anymore? Do you know what I'm about to say? All right.
Ma'am, do you not know?
Do you?
There was one that always cracked me up. Seeing how they justified this, it was 976 P-E-E-E, and they would always go, the extra E's for extra P.
B-Y-O-B-B.
Oh my God, our president's going to call that number. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to get that going again. We're going to get
what's
that going.
What's the country code for
real? Hey, what's your name?
I'm a germaphobe. I would never call that number.
What's your question?
I have a question for Nathan.
I'll take this one, guys.
It's about your tattoo.
Yeah.
When did you get it and why?
When I was about 22 and not for a good enough reason. if I had my druthers now, I'd rather be clean. But it's down here on my hip, so nobody sees it unless they're really good.
Have they seen Firefly or the Outer Limits?
Or yeah, or unless they watch TV. What was that last bit?
Does it have a special meaning?
Does it have a special meaning? Probably.
One of those.
I got 22. A tiny symbol for regret.
A 22-year-old me, yeah.
Hey, what's your name?
I'm Jared.
What's your question, Jared?
So I wrote this out because I was afraid I was going to stumble my words and I was just going to go on and on. But I wanted to just say, hey, Chris, Matt, and Jonah, I just wanted to say thank you with this. There was a really dark period in my life several years ago where I just kind of lost hope, and it was pretty much, it's the closest I'd ever thought of suicide where I was. But I rose above it. But I want to say it's because I discovered your show and it inspired me to get up my ass and actually make something of my life. And your show, you guys are literally, it's like listening to the brothers I never had, just crack jokes and have fun. So I just want to say thank you for that. But one of the bigger things that kind of got me through after that dark period was music and concert photography. So these are photos that I took kind of during that year, but all of them are guests that have been on your show. So I photographed 100 shows in 2015, so that's like Steve Aoki. That's Nathan Fillion, actually.
He's never been on the show.
I'm so glad you picked Jerry for a question.
Oh my God, these pictures are amazing.
Thank you, man.
Nice work. There's Fitz, yeah.
Yeah.
How's my hair?
You look great in this picture.
Thank you.
Plug your podcast.
Yeah, plug your podcast.
It's called For the Record. It's on every Wednesday and Friday. It's at shamelesspromo.net. I interview musicians and comedians. I've actually had Greg Proops and Jimmy Pardo on before.
Wow.
It's been a lot of fun. Band's coming on next week, too. So.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Can I have the sleeve for this so they don't get damaged? This is for us, right? I didn't just take your pictures. Okay, great. Thanks.
Just okay, look great. At him. Just look at him and give him back. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I hope you didn't mind.
If you ever want to talk about Dave Matthews, though, come on.
I fucking tried to photograph his show, and I've got nothing back. So we're hopefully getting that. So.
Yeah, a lot of people that go to his concerts feel like they don't get much back.
How dare you! Thank you. Force Awakens. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You're lovely.
Well done, man.
Appreciate
well done.
It. Thank you so much. This is fun. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's nice for us when we, you know, because we just dick around all the time. We do these podcasts. We dick around. We hear ourselves talk. You know, we're obviously self-centered comedians and performers.
Like a beached whale.
You know, it's just nice when someone takes something positive out of it. It makes us feel like, oh, okay, you know, like, When you feel kind of broken and then other people benefit, they're like, oh, hey, maybe I don't feel so alone, and they go do stuff. I mean, we're just guys who just did stuff. So, and that's why on this momentous day, December 21st, 2017, January 21st, when two people in the back row couldn't take it anymore and left. And it wasn't about parking, because no one drives here. They just didn't want to be here anymore.
we planted a flag here at the current theater, newly renovated, where we all decided we were going to go out, be better people to each other, to our loved ones. We were going to fight hatred, not with yelling, but with conversation. We were going to pursue the things we wanted to pursue. And we were going to be the greatest human beings ever, thanks to the little guy, the little boy that could, Jared, who grew up one day and became the most famous photographer in the world.
Now give it up for Smash Mouth.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're
so
much. Body.
Oh, sure.
That's, oh.
Thank you.
Did you want,
you too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what if you just left? Like, yeah, I'm out of here. That was really nice.
That was great. And it didn't cost you $100 to get that.
I know. I got something. I can jump up there. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Do it. Whoa. That's that box jumping.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, Chris. Oh, no. At least you went out being rad.
That's the fucking best eulogy ever. Hey man, at least he went out being rad.
Gotta say.
Things you say at a funeral for a skateboarder.
I love how we have three different ways of getting back on the stage. Mine's the least graceful.
Body wants.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah. Some. California's got sunshine. Hanging out with my friends.
Ooh, yeah.
It's days like these that make me want to fly first class in a Mercedes Benz on a solid gold rifle.
Whatever the lyrics were.
You haven't heard Smash Mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. If you don't know, that's a thing. It's from a very early podcast. The Smash Mouth guy, it was outtakes. It was just a vocal track.
Isolated vocal track of him singing a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you haven't heard that song until you heard Three Doors Down to it. I'll tell you that.
I couldn't believe that was real. Of everything that's happened, that's the least believable thing to me.
It's hilarious.
Also,
you
cannot...
Do you want to tell Jared that?
Jared, this is in Silicon Valley Comic Con.
Yes.
I'm wearing the same shirt and jacket.
It's like the Lloyd Bridges picture in Airplane.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right behind.
That's in Nathan's closet. It's just all of that.
You don't do that?
Hang on, guys. Hang on.
It's just you and Steve Jobs.
You find like a pair of shoes or like a super shirt that everybody goes, "Hey, I like that shirt." And those shoes are great. And they're super. Do you go buy like another pair, another color, or like in case they stop?
Yeah, I do.
Hell yeah! I got three of these.
Before we wrap this up, is there anything that you want to say to everyone, or is there anything that you feel like expressing before we're gonna close with a special thing after this? So, what do you? No, they don't get that.
Yeah, okay. Cut.
I really can't believe that this is what you guys do for a living. Holy shit.
Well, some of us have to supplement our income with Netflix or...
or ABC.
But
we can't all be handing out $100 bills left and right whenever we insult a man who's walking with a cane.
But Matt.
Boy,
if you don't knock that shit off, I'm going to give you $100.
All right, Dory, I figured out how we're going to pay for IVF. I'm just going to call Chris every day, make him feel bad.
You interrupted Nathan, who was expressing something.
Oh, that's all I had.
No, you had something else.
Guys, this is Super Sketch Fest, my very first one. Thanks very much, especially you guys in the shit sheets.
Thank you so much. It means the world to us to come perform in a theater like this, and you would come see it. A huge hand for Mike Furman, Jonah Ray, Matt Myra, Nathan Fillion, Chris, Jared, you,
and that's Chris Hardwick.
And that's me. Have an amazing time at Sketchfest, and hopefully we'll see you soon. Goodbye!